Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. You can download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Mickey Kennedy. Mickey founded ereleases.com 26 years ago to help small businesses, authors, and startups increase their visibility and credibility through press release distribution. He lives in the Baltimore area. Mickey, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
I think that the key is to stop micromanaging and delegate. I spent so many years cycling through staff and employees, had huge turnover, and I was wasting a lot of my time at a marketing mastermind that met three times a year talking about it. And finally, one of the HR people there said, I don't really work with small businesses, but I could probably diagnose why you're hiring the wrong people and get a grasp as to what's going on. And I said, sure. So I hired her and she interviewed my staff, she interviewed my customers and looked at my job postings and came back and said, the problem is not your staff, it's you. You micromanage and you micromanage a lot. And I would take every time they were on the phone, I would, and they hung up, I would be right behind them saying, hey, next time, this is the way you should answer it, almost verbatim. And I really was into this marketing thing, never say no and try to word it a specific way. And, sort of like, just being a marketer. And, in this case, it was Nancy Schlesinger, who you may know. She said, Mickey, these people are never going to become marketing people and be able to dialogue with customers, but, they're giving people a good customer experience. And you just have to trust you hire the right people and, back away. And I tried it and I couldn't help myself. And so I found the solution was just to get out of the office. I left the office in April of 2015. And all of a sudden, not micromanaging my staff freed up like 20, 30 hours a week. And I could focus on growing the business and things that actually move the needle, not sort of massaging every conversation. And that was a huge recognition that, I have a very strong weakness, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs do, where you want everything to be perfect. You want every conversation to be like how you would say it. And it's just almost an impossible ask for the average employee. And so I just learned to trust my employees and focus on, the things that sort of can potentially grow the business and be more strategic long term.
Yeah, let me check my agenda here. From 8 to 10, I got micromanagement. Okay, and then after lunch, nap, and then more micromanagement. It's funny. So it's interesting how we fill our time when we don't have somebody kind of checking in from outside. Like, why do you do that? I don't know. Because we feel like that's the way that we need to do it. And it's interesting that you're also saying, hey, once I stepped away and trusted my employees, I was able to refocus my efforts. And let me ask, did the quality of the performance of your employees go down, or did it stay the same? Did it go up? What happened after that?
We still get testimonials and shout outs all the time about how great customer support is and how helpful the staff is. And the staff that was there in 2015 is still there. And so, my average turnover before that was 1 year. And now they've been there 10 years. So I've solved the problem and it was me. And so, I feel like people are still getting a really good experience, but even better, I've more than tripled revenue since then. And I don't know that I would have been able to do that if I was constantly so close looking at the minutiae of every interaction and conversation. And I feel like at the end of the day, you have to hire people and you have to trust them. And nobody likes to have someone constantly monitoring every aspect of their work, every conversation they write, every email, every phone conversation. And I was very thick in it. And I was very I guess I was a bad boss. I was a toxic boss.
Well, I think the main thing that I can take from this is anytime that you're seeing some kind of problem, number one, you have to look at yourself first. Anything that happens to you in your life is your own damn fault. You have to start with you. If you've got, I went through the same thing, and so as you're talking, I'm like, get out of my head, Mickey, because I went through the same thing where I've got 8 employees. And I'm not an organized person, and I'm realizing they're much more organized than me, but I'm running in so many different directions that the business itself is lacking organization. And I'm like, why can't we just get everything together? And it's like, no, it's me. It's definitely me, and I've got to back off and let people do their thing. Same story. So tell me a little bit about as we're kind of evolving our conversation here, using data and testing to know what ideas to implement. I think what you just said is, hey, I backed off and customer satisfaction and testimonials did not go down. It's everything's still fine. What are some other moments that where you were able to get in there and test something and let the data decide it instead of your emotions?
So, I had learned in the same marketing mastermind this idea of a shock and awe package. So, when someone became a new customer of e-releases, we used to send them this p party in a box. I mean, it was a lot of fun stuff. It was an Edgar Allan Poe action figure with a raven, and pressed a button and said, "Nevermore." And because we're in the Baltimore area, and there was also crab chips, crab potato chips. They were had Old Bay seasoning on them, and just a lot of fun stuff. And I also sent them a press release book and a welcome letter. And I had one person come back to me and said, I kind of felt like this was unprofessional." And there is a part of my ego where I want to say this person just doesn't get it. I'm cool. And I have blog posts where people talk about, this great unboxing experience and stuff like that. And but I just said, the other side is, I didn't go to business school. I, just listening to some marketers, let's test it. The marketers always say, trust the numbers. And so we took the next 6 months of new customers and split it. Half would get the shock and awe package. The other half just got the book and the welcome letter. And we then looked at the lifetime value of that population. At the end of the year, the people who just got the book and letter was double what those that got the shock and awe package got. At 2 years, it was like almost three times. And I think I stopped looking after like 3 years, and it was like quadruple, more than quadruple. And so I was spending over $60 with the shock and awe package, and I was actually turning the customer off, where if I just spent, $45, $50 less and sent them the book and letter, I was getting a much better overall lifetime ROI. And it was completely statistically relevant, because I think the both of these populations were over 500 customers each. And so it was pretty evident, even if you took like the top 10% of it. I tried to look at it lots of different ways to see if there was anomalies, but it wasn't. It was like, I think that there was people who felt like, these people are just silly and all fun, and I want someone who's all business and professional. And so, that's one of those instances where I just trusted the numbers, and I immediately went with it. I at the end of the 6 months, based on my gut feeling, I said, let's just do the book and letter for a few more months. And then we'll decide whether to do the shock and awe package again at the end of a year. And it was already shaping up that I knew it wasn't going to be even close. And at the end of the year, it was like, yeah, we're never going to look back at the shock and awe package. It was just, too much. And I think that, you have to look at the culture of your business and what you're about and what you're selling. And in my case, I'm trying to sell a press release opportunity, distributing over the wire. And I think that, a first impression is really important. And I was losing them with that silly box, that fun in a box I was sending.
It's a an, another thing that I've noticed kind of along those lines is the more you provide, sometimes the less value that it is put out, like as a perception. Like if I do 1,000 different things, my perceived value in each of those things is lower than if I do one thing for you that really counts. And as you were talking, that's kind of reminded me of a couple of situations where, okay, just like you were saying, the big boss has got to be involved. Somebody spends this kind of money, they're going to want to talk to the boss or whatever. But the boss was running out of time, so we had to extract him, and we're like, well, let's see what happens. We extract the boss from the process. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. We were able to grow a lot faster, So sometimes we add sandbags to ourselves because we think, but then the numbers tell us otherwise. And so what's interesting about this is a marketer said, hey, you got to do this shock and awe package. But a marketer also said, trust the numbers. And so it's like, sometimes we just have to decide, which direction we're going. And so can you talk a little bit about a guy that did not go and, learn how to run a business and trying to figure this out as you go? What are those decision-making patterns that you have to follow? Like, how do you ultimately decide to go with the data or go with your gut?
For me, it's predominantly, trusting the numbers and picking and choosing my battles of what I want to test. I know that in our business, we do PR Newswire national press releases for a fraction of what it would cost if you went directly to the Newswire. The caveat is you have to be a small business or entrepreneur, not someone that their salespeople would ever want to reach out to. But part of the fact that we're selling these releases for like a third of what the Newswire charges is we are moving a lot of press releases, and we have to be able to follow a process and a system. And we have customers who say, hey, you normally schedule your releases before 9 a.m. Can I pick a time during the day? And every time I tried to accommodate someone like that, a mistake would be made. And so I just realized that for my business and the fact that people are saving, two-thirds of what it would cost to go directly through the wire, there's going to be a cost. And that cost is you can't pick your time. And I find, that was hard for my staff because they want to accommodate the customer and things like that. But those are areas where I didn't test because I just found that we were making lots of mistakes, and every time the mistake was made, it was when we made an exception and when we, took a process and tried to make a change just for one particular customer. And at that point, I just realized that, you could split test that, but I think that at the end of the day, you just have to trust, if you want to minimize mistakes, you got to take those kinds of exceptions out of the process. And those were the things that I decided not to split test. I just felt like it, for the sanity of my staff and the workflow, it just needed to work a certain way.
Yeah, it's interesting you opened up this conversation with, I've always been, of the mindset of never say no. And when you learned how to say no, things started getting better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of like the evolution of Mickey over time,
Yes.
So interesting. And so tell us a little bit more about e-releases. Who is it for? What is the secret sauce, and how can people connect with you?
Right. So e-releases is a press release distribution platform. We offer writing, but to be honest, with AI today, you could write a press release using AI. That being said, never ask AI to write a press release and decide what to write about for you. AI has been trained on all the press releases out there. And I would say probably 97% of press releases do not generate earned media. And that's when a journalist writes a unique article about you based off that press release. And that's the goal of being on a wire and, going to the media, as we want the actual media to write original articles about us. And so I always tell people, come at AI knowing what you want to write and say, hey, how would you structure a press release on my company about this topic? And if your AI knows your company, you may not have to input anything. But if not, and I have modeled my AI engines with a lot of information about my company, you tell it, information about your company. And then, it'll spit out a structure for you, then say, okay, let's tackle it headline. Give me five headline options for this press release that I told you to write. And then maybe you pick one, or you say, hey, this one is closest to what I'm looking for. Could you give me 10 options based off of it? And then approach it top down. Give me an opening paragraph for this press release. And then, look at the who, what, when, where, how, and why. Is that all pretty much answered? And right there, front and center in that opening paragraph, does it ex excite you and really, tell you what the newsworthy thing is here? And then just go paragraph by paragraph. Make sure you have an amazing quote in there, not something safe. And in a lot of cases, you may have to rewrite that quote. And what I mean by amazing quote is something that you say so succinctly or with such strength, active verbs or, creative flourish, whatever it is, that if a journalist was to remove it, there would be an ache for the loss of what was originally written there. And so, that's how I know it's a good quote. And a journalist who's looking at two press releases and their equal newsworthiness, and maybe they're not strong newsworthiness, they know that if they write a solid article for each of them, but this has an amazing quote that'll still be in there, they know that that's going to come across as a stronger article because of that quote. And so they're going to gravitate towards using you when they're choosing to write an article. So that's how I'd approach it with working with AI. And going back to what types of press releases you should do, during the pandemic, I analyzed the 10,000 releases a year moving through us, and I looked at the 3% of press releases that do get picked up, and there are patterns there. And I built a whole sort of master class about what types of releases these are, and they apply to anybody. Anybody could, work with these same approaches with their business. And if you build a PR campaign of 6 to 8 releases and you follow this, you will at least have a couple of those press releases generate real earned media for you. One type of press release has never failed, always generates earned media. And for anybody who's interested, it's completely free. It's available at ereleases.com/plan, PLAN. And it's a less than an hour long video. It has some accompanying materials there. And if you build a PR campaign following it, you should see some real media pickup.
Awesome. ereleases.com/plan.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Mickey Kennedy, for coming on and joining a little, sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done. Once again, if you want to grab his free masterclass on how to build a PR campaign designed to get massive media coverage, you can go to ereleases.com/plan. Whether you're on your morning commute, in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie. Tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, you can download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That's it. Let's get to work.